This is month 3, week 4 of the School of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is our constant abiding companion. And in the School of the Holy Spirit, we are coming to personally know the Holy Spirit. We're coming to experience what's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we're learning how to move in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And lastly, we want to learn how to live and move in the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, in the past weeks, we've been studying the charismatic gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, the charismatic gifts of the Holy Spirit, you can read about those in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 11. A lot of people know about faith, hope, and love, and fear of the Lord, piety, counsel, wisdom, fortitude, knowledge, and understanding. But many people don't know about the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit called the charismatic gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, these are in Scripture. They're part of the Word of God. So we should know about them. As a matter of fact, St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, he says, "Now concerning the spiritual gifts, I do not want you to be ignorant." Many of us are ignorant of these gifts. We don't know them. We don't understand them. And so in the school right now, we're focusing on these gifts because St. Paul says we shouldn't be ignorant about these gifts of the Holy Spirit. And the 3 gifts that we're focusing on right now are praying in tongues, prophecy, and healing. And the reason is because these gifts are the most common gifts. When you go to a prayer meeting, you'll see people either praying in tongues, prophesying, and you'll see people praying over other people for healing. And sometimes we can think that those are the superstars over there that do those things. No, we'll find out that these are for all of us as believers. So today in the School of the Holy Spirit, we're going to study specifically the gift of healing. Our focus scripture for today is Exodus 15:26. Exodus 15:26 says, "For I am the Lord who heals you." Exodus 15:26. I want to encourage you to commit that scripture to memory. Now, this one's a real short one, so it should be pretty easy to do. Exodus 15:26, "For I am the Lord who heals you." In this teaching on healing, I want to show you that healing is, number one, central to proving that Jesus is the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Number two, that healing is central to the mission of Jesus. Number three, that healing is central to the mission of the church. And number four, that healing is central to your mission as a believer in the Lord Jesus. In Matthew 11, the disciples of John the Baptist come to Jesus with the question of whether or not he's the Messiah, the one that they've been waiting for. Now, I want you to stop and think for a little while. How did Jesus prove that he was the Messiah, the Savior of the world? Wait, let's take a step back. And let me ask this question. How would you prove to somebody that Jesus is the Messiah, the Savior of the world? You know, there's a lot of saviors out there. Everybody wants to be a savior. You know, write a self-help book and you're the new Savior of the world. And if everybody would just follow your way, Eckhart Tolle or whoever you are, then they would have a life of bliss and happiness. How would you prove to people that Jesus is the Savior, the one that they should trust their life, that they would give their life to him? Well, let's see how Jesus proved that he was the Savior, the Messiah. Matthew 11, verses 2 through 5. Matthew 11, verses 2 through 5 says this. "When John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah," "he sent his disciples to ask him, 'Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?' Jesus replied," this is verse 4 of Matthew 11, "Go back and report to John what you see and hear. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the good news is proclaimed to the poor." Jesus pointed to his healing ministry as the proof that he was the Messiah. Jesus said, "You want to know if I'm the Messiah? Look at what I'm doing. Look at what I'm doing." You see, Jesus Christ came to reverse the curse. The enemy seduced our mother and father, Adam and Eve, into sin. And with the fall of man, You can read about this in Genesis chapter 3. With the fall of man, sin, sorrow, and suffering entered into the world. And Jesus came to reverse the curse and bring us grace, comfort, and healing. And we're going to talk more about that. Healing is how Jesus proved that he was the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Healing is how we prove that Jesus is the Messiah, the Savior of the world. In the early church, we're talking about, you know, the early church fathers basically go from the time of the Lord Jesus up into the, about the 500s or something. I don't know. Pick a number, any number. I'm not really good with numbers. But that those disciples that lived in the early days of the church, they are the ones that formulated our doctrines. You know, Jesus says the Holy Spirit will lead you to all truth. And so the Holy Spirit was using them to formulate doctrines. Well, one of the early church fathers' names was Tertullian. And Tertullian went before a Roman proconsul. And he wanted to prove to this proconsul that Jesus is the Messiah, the Savior of the world. How did Tertullian prove it? This is what Tertullian said. He said, "Bring me someone who's possessed by a demon or sick, and I'll bring you any believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. They will lay hands on him, and in the name of Jesus, that person will be healed or set free." Any follower of the Lord Jesus. That's you. That's you. How did Tertullian? He's before this Roman proconsul. I mean, he's going to prove that Jesus is the guy you should follow. And how does he prove it? Does he go into this whole theological debate? He says, "Listen, let's just let the rubber hit the road here. Let's go for it." He says, "Bring me somebody that's sick. We'll pray. And they shall be healed. And that healing will prove to you that Jesus is the Messiah." Healing is central to the ministry of Jesus. In Matthew 4:17, the Lord Jesus said, it says, "From that time on, Jesus began to preach, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near,'" or the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is the theme, if you will, the summation of all that Jesus said and did. Jesus sent the disciples to proclaim and demonstrate the kingdom. The kingdom is about proclamation and demonstration. Proclamation, tell about the kingdom. Demonstration, show the kingdom. Proclamation. Go tell the people that the kingdom of the enemy, of sin, sorrow, and suffering, is over. And the kingdom of God has come. This is our proclamation. It's over for sin, sorrow, and suffering. But you know what? The kingdom of God's near. We're to proclaim grace, comfort, and healing is here. It's available to you. Grace, comfort, and healing. Show the people that the kingdom of the enemy, of sin, sorrow, and suffering is over. Show them demonstration that the kingdom of grace, comfort, and healing has come. You see, the gospel is this. Jesus gave his life for us. And we all know that, don't we? He died on the cross, didn't he? He died on that cross to reverse the curse. He died on that cross to pay the price, to overcome sin, sorrow, and suffering. That's that grace, comfort, and healing is available. That's the kingdom of God. And that's what Jesus was about, wasn't he? He was about grace, comfort, and healing. And so he gave his life for us on the cross. But you know, that's only half the gospel. The other half is this, that he gave his life to us. Jesus Christ gave his life to us. He transferred his life, his kingdom life, with grace, comfort, and healing to us. You know, that's what the sacraments are about. See, on the cross, Jesus gave his life for us. And it's through the sacraments that he gives his life to us. Those seven sacraments are the streams of his life flowing into us, so that we could have grace, comfort, and healing. The gospel is this. Jesus gave his life for us. He saved us from the kingdom of darkness with sin, sorrow, and suffering. This is the gospel. Jesus gave his life to us. He transferred us into the kingdom of God with grace, comfort, and healing, health. We are to receive grace, comfort, and healing for ourselves. Jesus wants you to walk in grace, comfort, and healing. He wants you to know that your sins are forgiven, grace. He wants you to know that the brokenness, the rejection of this life can be healed and mended. And He wants you to know that your body, He wants you to experience that your body can walk in health. And you know what? We're then to take that grace, comfort, and healing to others. Not only are we to experience grace, comfort, and healing, we're to take that grace, comfort, and healing to others. You see, healing is central to the mission of the church. In Matthew 10, verses 7 through 8, Matthew 10, verses 7 through 8, we read this. It says, Lord Jesus is speaking, as you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. We need to be going out with proclamation. When's the last time you told someone about Jesus Christ? When's the last time you proclaimed the kingdom of heaven, that grace, comfort, and healing are available to you, whoever you are? You meet people all the time that are wrapped up in sin, sorrow, and suffering. Are you going to them and proclaiming to them, you know what, the kingdom of heaven is here, and I'm going to show you that it's here? Church, we need to be going out. He says, Lord Jesus says, as you go, proclaim the message, the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, and drive out demons. Isn't that what Jesus was doing? Jesus was doing these same things, and now He says we're to do it. Healing is a demonstration that the kingdom of God is at hand. Sickness, disease, and infirmity are signs that the kingdom of the enemy is at hand. We only do half of what Jesus sent us to do. We do the preaching half. We also need to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cleanse those who have leprosy. We need to drive out demons. And we're only doing half of the kingdom work. And the truth be told, most of us aren't even doing that preaching half. Church, we need to go out with proclamation and demonstration. In Mark 16, verses 15 through 18, He said to them, go to all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, and whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these are the signs that will accompany those who believe. These are the signs that will accompany those who believe. Now, let me stop and ask you a question. Do you believe in Jesus? Is He your Savior and the Lord? If that's the case, if you've answered yes to those questions, then you are a believer. And as a believer, these following signs should accompany you. What I'm about to read is about you. You are a believer. He says this, Lord Jesus says, in My name they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. That's the gift of tongues. That's not a gift of languages. I mean, the apostles probably spoke, we know they spoke Aramaic, Hebrew, Latin, and Greek. Man, talk about uneducated people. How many languages do you speak? Seriously, the apostles would have probably have spoken four languages. So when He says speak in new tongues, it's not about these are the signs that accompany those who believe. They'll go learn French. No, He's talking about the gift of tongues there. They will pick up snakes with their hands, and they will drink deadly poison, and it will not harm them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they might get well. Is that what Jesus said? Did Jesus say they might get well? No. If you read the scripture, it says this. Jesus did not say they might get well. What did He say? These are the signs that will accompany those who believe. This is about you. They will place their hands on sick and they will get well. They will get well. The Greek word here for get well is kalos. It means to recover health. As believers, you are to lay your hands on the sick and they will get well. They will recover health. They will be healed. I am a believer. I have laid my hands on the deaf in Jesus' name to the glory of Jesus, and I've seen them here. I am a believer. I have laid my hands on the crippled in Jesus' name and to the glory of Jesus, and I've seen the cripple walk. I am a believer. I've laid my hands on the barren in Jesus' name and to Jesus' glory. I have seen the barren conceive. I've seen the blind see. I've seen the cancerous tumor dissolve. I've seen cystic fibrosis healed. I've seen hepatitis healed. I've seen frozen shoulders loosen and much, much more. I am a believer. I do what Jesus commanded and I believe what Jesus said. I am a believer. I lay my hands on the sick and they are healed. Not they might be healed. Why? Because Jesus said it. I believe it and that settles it. Why are sick people healed when I pray for them? Because Jesus said it, you lay your hands on the sick, they shall be healed. Jesus said it, and I believe it, and that settles it. After preaching the gospel and baptizing, the next thing the apostles did was to heal a crippled beggar who was outside the temple. In Acts chapter 3, verse 6, Peter says to the man, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, walk." Church, when we meet sick people, are we willing to lay our hands on them and give them what we have? And what do we have? We have the name of Jesus. And Jesus said, "Whatever you ask in my name, I shall do it." And you know what happened? That man was healed. That beggar man was healed. After the man was healed, Peter and John are beaten for his healing and warned never to speak in Jesus' name. They are then released, and when they are united with the other believers, they have a prayer meeting. And in Acts chapter 4, verses 29 through 30, we have the only prayer recorded of the early church. This is the first prayer of the church, and let me read it to you. This is Acts chapter 4, verse 29. So again, Peter and John, they've healed this guy. The Jewish leaders get upset, so they beat him and say, "Don't do it again." And they go back. They're released after they've been beaten. They go back to the other disciples, and they have a prayer meeting, and this is what they pray. "Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness." This needs to be our prayer, that we would speak the word with boldness. Sounds like proclamation. Then it says, "Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus." Demonstration. Right there, there's proclamation, demonstration. What's the first prayer of the church? That we'd speak with boldness. What's the first prayer of the church? That we'd heal the sick. Signs and wonders. You know, healing is so central to the Catholic faith that one of the seven sacraments is anointing of the sick. This sacrament is for the healing of your body. If the anointing of the sick is a sacrament, it says that the Catholic Church believes in healing and it sees it as centrally important to the celebration of the faith. Do you know what the number one visited place in the world is? Lourdes, France. And in Lourdes, there's healing there. Healing waters. You know, church, don't take me out of context. I believe in Lourdes. But maybe Lourdes happened. Maybe God sent healing water because we as church weren't doing our job of laying hands on the sick and believing for healing. In 1 Corinthians 12:9, we read that it's not the gift of healing, but gifts of healing. Why? There's many types of healing. There's healing for the body, there's healing for the soul, and there's healing for the spirit, which is called deliverance. Healing for the soul is healing your broken heart. We all know about healing for the body, but there's also healing for soul, broken hearts. There's also healing for the spirit, which is called deliverance, when people are in bondage to demons. You know, our God is a healing God. Our God is a healer. And this week's focus scripture is Exodus 15:26 that says, "For I am the Lord who heals you." In Hebrew, and that's what this text was written in Exodus. In Hebrew, we find one of the names of God. And his name is Jehovah Rophi. Jehovah Rophi, which means I am who am healing. I am who am healing. Jehovah or Yahweh means I am who am, and Rophi means healing. Our God is a healing God. Our God is a healer. Why is the church here? We are here as the church to make God known to the world. We're to make God known to the world. And we make God known through our proclamation and our demonstration. And who is this God that we make known through proclamation and demonstration? We make known Jehovah Rophi. I am who am healing. Our God is a healing God. Our God is a healer.